Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning if you're watching us from afar. I'm Mike, that's Reg, this is Indeed, and this is the show where we talk about independent wrestling every Wednesday here on Fightful Overbooked. Got a great guest with us today, you can already see him on screen, but before we get to him, we'll make him sit there for another minute. How you doing, Reg? It's been a week. How have you been?
Hey, it's your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster, media man. I'm here. I'm happy. It's Indeed. We have a guest. I was going to say a special guest, but like, is Sean Ross Sapp a special guest on a Fightful show? That's just like, he's on a show regularly. But yeah, we are here today and I'm very excited to see some great wrestling this weekend. We're going to get into that. But before that, we're going to get into, I think they christened you the Blastmaster SRS. Somebody christened you?
What?
Yeah, somebody has christened you the Blastmaster. So the Blastmaster is here, Sean Ross Sapp.
Listen, after the day I have, I think somebody else is going to have that nickname. But
Sean Ross Sapp, stop.
Anyway, yeah, I'm here.
Welcome to Indeed, Sean. Happy Wednesday.
I still haven't caught my breath from what was discovered before we got onto this podcast, but I'm going to try to move forward. That's it, and that's all.
Yeah, that's all we can do as a society at this point.
Hey, you know what? Surefire way to change the subject. We got a great, generous super chat here from Lovefro. Aren't Gnocchi great?
I think so.
Yes. Yeah. Gnocchi's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good.
You got something on that, SRS?
I don't even know what that is.
You don't know what Gnocchi is?
Oh. No.
All right. Well,
it's, yeah.
Google it. Go out and eat it. It's delicious.
Like, you mean like the dumpling?
Yeah. The food.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, if you send a super chat in, we're going to read it. So if you want to know our thoughts on gnocchi, thoughts on gnocchi, you get it here.
It's like a potato, right?
It's like a potato thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All my life, fine. I thought it was actually like pasta dough. And I found out it was potatoes like recently than I want to admit.
I live in Kentucky. We got nothing but farmland out here. We got a lot of good, like, vegetable-based stuff. So that is not high on our totem pole
That's fair. Very fair.
No. You know what's high on everyone's totem pole, or was last week to talk about? Was you wrestling Effie?
Yeah.
People were mad.
Yeah, they were. Well, they pretended to be mad, at least.
To be mad, yeah.
That's the cycle we go through every single time that I get announced for a match. I think this is the fourth or fifth one since December, so it'll just repeat whenever I get announced for another one. So
Okay, yeah, I guess we could start there. Sean Rossab, what are you doing here? Your fourth match since December. Are you a semi-active wrestler? You're about as active as, like, I don't know, Goldberg or some at this point.
I think I'm more active than Goldberg at this point. Sure. I mean, my matches last longer than... Okay, one of them didn't last longer than 3 minutes when I ran in, got chokeslammed by Hornswoggle, and got out. But I did like 10 minutes this time. I did 30 in the Battle Royal, the Rumble with Alexis Littlefoot and myself.
I don't know if you could say 30. Like, you weren't, like, for 30 going hard action Will Ospreay and Brian Danielson back and forth.
Well, I did a stink face to Alexis Littlefoot. So, I mean, okay. I think that was...
That works.
Of which I will say it was kind of funny because I was hoping somebody would cut me off. So I said out loud, gee, I hope nobody stops me from doing this stink face. And a guy just looked at me like, and didn't cut it off at all. So then I did a stink face to Alexis Littlefoot.
Oh, man. But,
yeah.
Happy accidents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Happy accidents. Yeah.
And then I got pitched. Like, it was funny because I felt this overwhelming relief after my last match, and I had a great loss in my personal life, and I was like, you know what, it's probably good that I don't have anything planned for a while. Mm-hmm. And a week and a half later, Brett Lauderdale hits me up, and he's like, hey, GCW in Louisville. I was like, man, I can't say no to that. Like, that, because the donations that we would get for the Dementia Society of America, I knew it would be really good with GCW and the attention that it would get, and it was. So I did that, but yeah, I don't have anything planned as of right now, though.
Do you have, like, a ballpark idea of, like, what the, you know, cumulative donations from people and stuff worked out to?
The ones that people sent to me as of the show were at least 2,000. That doesn't include ones that they didn't, yep, like, show me physically. Mm-hmm. And then since then, it's been 2,500. And then there, I'd say there's probably, like, 10, 11 people that didn't send me what they donated. Like, Brett didn't send me what he donated, but the reason why I work the shows that I've worked is because, like, Brett and Mikey donate an amount that no reasonable promoter would even pay me to wrestle anyway.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel comfortable doing that.
That makes a lot of sense. And shout out to every time that Sean Rossap does a match, it's for a cause. It's not just to get himself over. Some of it is to get himself over.
Oh,
never let him convince you that it's not, though, because, like, a part of it is, like, I'm a superstar here, I'm the best guy in pro wrestling. So, I mean, there is that. Sean Rossap, when you're pitched a match like this, or when Brett Lauderdale hit you up, do you have any say, or do you want to have any say of, like, who you're against, what happens here? Or was Brett just like, hey, we have this thing, you're going to be with one of the hottest indie wrestlers in wrestling, Effie?
So a limited amount. Like, when it was Shaza, I knew that, I mean, Tyler Edwards and Mikey, they big brained me because they were like, what conditions would it take for you to wrestle a match?
Yeah.
And I said, somebody I trust for charity. I got to have time to train. And they knew Shaza was somebody that I trusted. Then there was the Squared Circle Expo Battle Royal. And I was just like, yeah, I could do a Battle Royal. Fine. Just no big deal. And then they tell me, well, you're going in right before Swoggle. So me and Swoggle worked that out. Mm-hmm. And he, like, you know, I delegate to him. The Paul Cade thing was funny because I get there and I had been under the weather and they said, how long do you want to go? I said, however long you want me to go. And they said, great, coast to coast, you and Alexis. Cool. All right. I guess I'm doing that. And they did ask me originally, do you want to win? And I said, no, I don't want to win. No, it defeats the purpose. Now, there was also Monster Factory hitting me up because Shaza was working Mania week. And they said, hey, you should come in and manage Shaza. And I go, absolutely, I'll do anything with Shaza. So it's funny. All that has a purpose, I promise. I try to get Shaza booked for everything that I do because she risked her reputation, what little one that she has, to even work with me. So I try to get her that payday, especially if it's on a Thursday, driving distance, you know, 3-4 hours from where she lives. And they didn't go for that. I was like, hey, I would love for Shaza to be like my heater. And they were like, well, she's a good guy here. And I said, yeah, exactly. We can say that I'm sponsoring her visa and she's got to take bumps for me. Like, that's the whole thing. I thought that would have been fun. But they got me to agree to do something. Then about 2 weeks later, Brett was like, hey, trying to figure out what you would do. And in my head, I was like, maybe like a scramble and I'll go in and you know, do a couple moves and then catch somebody or some stuff like that. But I didn't expect to have like a full on singles match. Then he said Effie, and I was like, well, also, how can I say no to that? Like, Effie can work the exact type of match that won't completely expose me as a performer. He's not doing like J drillers to me or tiger drivers or anything. So
true.
I felt comfortable there.
Love that for you. Obviously, like the lead up to the show, the reaction for the match announcement was like, you know, a lot, you know, you have your classic internet people, but
yeah.
How was the like post-match, you know, response and reaction from everybody? Obviously, you know, without, you don't have to go naming names or anything.
Well, some of them have posted some stuff publicly. Like Anthony Green was like really, really kind about it. And he was like, man, that high kick shocked me. And then I had a WWE wrestler who actually watched my Shaza match and said really, really nice things. Said that they liked how I started the match. They like how I always start the match with something that will surprise people. I was like, yeah, I'm glad they understood the way that the match was put together. Mm-hmm. It's been unanimously positive from people that actually wrestle and that are in wrestling. Before the Shaza match, like I had a couple people, like there was a guy that literally couldn't get booked on Black Label Pro anymore that said some stuff. And then There was Brogan, who, you know, I respect him and his family an awful lot, but I don't think he knew that I ever wrestled. So he got caught up with that and hit me with the just working brother. I don't know in what capacity that would have made any sense, but hey, I'll take his word for it. But since then, it's been universally positive from people that I speak to. Now, I don't know if that's them being nice, so I don't post their social security number on Fightful Select or if they actually like it, but I get good critiques and all that. Vinny Pacifico is always so nice. He helps me like break down stuff and look into things. He's the guy that sent me my gear maker. Like he got me hooked up with him. So yeah, it's been a lot of positivity and they know why I'm doing it as well. I'm not trying to get a spot on like the dark tapings or ROH tapings in Arlington or anything.
That sounds very Vinny Pacifico. I actually like. I'll take a second to just say some nice things about him because I had a recent
great guy.
I recently had a chance to see him like for the first time live here. He came up for Alpha One, and just what a great dude. You know, he's so social media like active. So I've seen so much of his stuff, but to actually get to chat with him and see him wrestle in person was so nice and. Very caffeinated locker room that day.
I bet.
Me and Samira and Vinny were on our way from Chicago to Michigan City, Indiana, and we saw a car on fire just driving down the road like nothing was happening.
High spots just on the road. I love it here. Like that. That's what Sean Ross Sapp gets. You should have reported that on Fightful. That when you brought that up a little bit earlier, Sean, about if you don't know if it's positive, if it's real, or what if it's fake, do you feel like some people are like, well, I want to get positive reviews on Fightful, so I want to be nice to Sean Ross Sapp? Is that a thing?
I'm sure it was at some point, and some people initially think that, but I mean, like, they're the number of people that I've had be like, damn, you were brutal last night. I'll have people I had a very prominent wrestler talk to me for about 30 minutes the other day. And the last thing they closed with was, hey, can you tell that Alex Palowski guy to just relax? No.
I had a nickel for every time somebody told me to tell Sean Ross Sapp to relax, I'd have 5 million nickels. You guys, since Sean Ross Sapp is here, stay out of my DMs. I don't represent Sean Ross Sapp. I don't talk for him. Why are you cussing me out for what he did?
No.
He blocked me and you. I'm like, what do I got to do with this though? Tell me what I have to do here.
One of my favorite things you ever showed me was somebody saying, what SRS say? Oh man.
I'm telling you, man. I'm like, since we are talking on the Fightful Network, they're like, oh yeah, you're Sean Ross Sapp, you're talking for him. What he does is what you do. I'm like, dude, What?
What's happening here? We got 40 people on staff.
I'm saying.
I have to explain that distinction to people a lot, like when I meet them for the first time, because they're just like, oh, Fightful? So like you do news and stuff? And then they like, I'm like, no, news is the last thing you will ever see me do.
We literally had a guy on staff before SP3 was doing the ROH stuff. He literally did a show that was no wrestling allowed on it. And he was technically under the Fightful umbrella. Like we have people like people that most our viewers would never know, Melissa and Shandy, unless they watched our old show. Like they're full time here and they work on the administrative end. And if they'll post something like they happen to be watching WrestleMania, they'll get like a quote tweet, typical Fightful. And I'm like, this woman probably thinks Cody Rhodes is gold dust. What are you doing?
Oh my God.
Here they go. Following along with that SRS bullshit. I'm like, wait, yes. What?
We have in fact never had a meeting of more than seven of us at one time.
Yeah.
And people think there is like some big 40 person decree over think this way, feel this way. People found out our transcriptionist was a Republican and they're like, you gonna stand for this? And I'm like, well, listen, hold on now.
It's not like he's putting right-wing propaganda into all the transcriptions that he posts.
He was not there on January 6th. He's not like sneaking in. Like when Steve Macklin says something,
you're
he's
gonna
not
stand
like
stand for this.
Like sliding propaganda into his articles or something.
Yeah, like in parentheses, what a fucking lib. Like we're not seeing that. Like what? Oh my god!
Yeah, you just blew my mind saying there are 40 people on staff. That's like how can we collude when I just discovered that there's 40 people on staff?
I mean, people don't realize that, but it's like just on podcasts, me, Denise, Kate, Alex, Robert DeFelice used to do them as well, but Jimmy Van, Cresta, Iridian, Riccicino, gosh, who else is on Thursday? SP3, Joel Pearl, that's 11 right off the top just for post-show review. Alexis Cardoza, that's 12. Mm-hmm. Not to mention we've got like, you know, six or seven people on the writing staff, Colby Faria as well. Then the administrative side is like Jimmy, Shandy, Melissa. We have a video editor, Rob Bull. We got a transcriptionist. And those are just off the top of my head. Our social media guy, Kyler, Corey Brennan, like that was over 30 people right there. And I didn't even get into it. And that doesn't even include overbooked and that the extension of it as well. Man.
Yeah. Like I was going to say, like you just the work of just that team, you know, that helps the Fightful machine run to a point where, you know, a side channel like Overbooked can exist. And then like, you know, hi, this is my place on Overbooked right here is, you know, Indeed. So it's
and he didn't say Phil and Reg, who are also here, you know,
Phil and Reg.
Wink, nudge, nudge.
And Steve, listen, I'm just saying Steven Jensen as well. My God, who else?
Jeremy.
Rob Wilkins. Well, Jeremy's on the writing staff.
And this is why I really hate answering those tweets of who's your favorite wrestler doing this or this right now? Because I'll name three and then I'll get like DMs from like 20 people going, bro, why didn't you say me?
Yeah. Oh no, I'm like too. I'm not good enough for yours.
I didn't say you on purpose. I'm sorry. Shit. There's too many people to name.
We also have Maggie, who's on staff, Drew Nicholas, who does some stuff, Luis, who's our moderator. Like, there are 40 people that submit invoices to Fightful every month. And I'm like, man, I remember when the initial hires were Jimmy, who started it, and then he had people at his day job that would just contribute. But it was me, Vince Russo, who I was just already looking for reasons to fire. And Showdown Joe, and then I happened to find Alex Pawlowski because he wrote a funny WWE main event review somewhere, and I said, "Please come work for us. You're funny." And that was my first hire. Now we're at 40.
How'd you get Vinny Roo out?
So he was paid a very good amount to write a Raw review, to do two podcasts a week, I think, with us, I think. And that was it. And it was clear his heart wasn't in it. He didn't care for it. He wrote a Raw review in the eyes of a 10-year-old, and it was the laziest bullshit I've ever seen. What? And as soon as he submitted that, I went to Jimmy and I said, Jimmy, it's him or me. Mm-hmm. I was like, one of us got to go. Because when I left Wrestling Inc., I was like, great, I'm going to be away from him.
Yeah.
We had good chemistry on screen, but like, I didn't want to work with him. And then Jimmy goes, oh yeah, and I'm bringing Russo over too. I'm like, son of a bitch. But I will say this, unfortunately, there was a personal loss in Vince's family. And yeah, that's horrible and unfortunate. But there was a situation that had unfolded after that where I don't even know if Jimmy had the conversation with Vince or Vince ended up stepping away. But I was like, listen, regardless of what situation unfolds there, if he's still here, I ain't going to be here. And it wasn't even like a personal thing at that point. I was just like, I don't think it was a good fit for us. I didn't think it was good. I wanted Elias Theodorou and Shane Helms and at the time, Matt Riddle and people like that, that could have more of a crossover with MMA and pro wrestling. And you know, Shane Helms was a big MMA fan, amateur wrestler in high school. Riddle was UFC and then became a wrestler. Elias Theodorou had done both of them, rest his soul. But yeah, that's how we got there.
Davey Richards wrote some good reviews and he had a lot of crossover too, didn't he?
You know, he definitely was ambitious. Team ambition was a thing. Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of nice being able to talk about Fightful like this, because we talk about independent wrestling a lot here on Indeed, but something that like, you know, it you don't really think about it, but Fightful is, you know, very much like a built from the ground up independent organization within, you know, wrestling media. It's not, you know, it's not like some like arm of ESPN or like Fox Sports or some, right. You know, yeah. Network or anything like that, but it's, you know, really grown to become like the go-to source for wrestling news and, you know, all, you know, content and stuff. And but again, you know,
that's why I don't have to ask Reg to not tweet certain stuff.
All the time.
Oh,
how
man.
Could you let him tweet this?
I feel like I got to check Reg's Twitter right now.
Oh, I no, did that's... have a prominent wrestler and I'll drop it in the chat that said, man, Reg is going to bury me for this one. Go to the private chat.
Amazing. Amazing. What better way to bring up this super chat?
Oh my god, dude.
The legend that is Righteous Reg. Check out the Nana track. Effie's a real one. Crazy, but real.
Yes.
What'd you hear before you started this? TNA responds to NBA. Yeah, so Prince Nana track, if you haven't heard, AEW Music did release Who We Are Volume 2, and featured again is Righteous Reg, of course.
Yeah. Who? Who? Righteous Reg. Of AEW Fight Forever fame.
Which they also, let's clear up some rumors, they not on match. The payroll. Just because I'm featured on a thing, not on the payroll. Like, Tony Khan does not send me checks.
Did they ever patch in a correction on that?
They did.
They did? Sweet. Yes. Sweet.
How much is your check that AEW sends you, SRS?
Not nearly enough, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
I wish it was high. It's not enough to keep me from going to SummerSlam. that's always a fun one when they're like, SRS in Tony's pocket. I'm like, yeah, that's a very productive thing. Tony sends me to go interview Cody Rhodes,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, the person who clearly he doesn't necessarily have a hot relationship with all the time and wants me to go do videos that do like a million views to promote AEW.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Makes total sense. A lot of
great strategy.
There's a lot of rational people on the internet though, Sean. I'll be honest, right? The craziness that is the internet and Twitter has made me like so much more chill of a person when like weird real life shit happens. Cause I'm just like, there's, you know what? I've seen more psychotic people on Twitter in the last few weeks.
As we sit here, there is a guy who over the last 3 days has posted a picture of my dead grandmother 50 times since Sunday. So like relatively speaking, you know,
yeah,
like unhinged humans. Like this is a real human that exists in the world.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Allegedly.
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 A bot, I guess. I mean, as I look, I was like, I wonder what he's up to. He's done this for 4 days in a row. And he says, my time is valuable. I don't think so. I doubt it.
It's of value, but I don't know if it's valuable.
Hey, hey, you know what? And let this be something we can all reflect on, that if you're ever feeling bad about yourself, there's someone whose entire personality is running that Twitter account. And if they were to lose access to that, they would be lost as a person, legitimately.
I sometimes sit about that and sit and think about that, and I'm just get real sad. I'm like, damn.
Like, yeah. I think about stuff like that, and it should make me sad, but it actually just makes me feel like so much better about my life. that's the only thing I can think of. It's just like
I had Jim and Ika ask me about this as I filmed her show. She's like, well, she asked like, what had changed since I got in this line of work? And I said, well, I'm definitely more sensitive to criticism or not even criticism. Like I don't mind criticism if it's in good faith, but I came from a town of 200. So if anybody spoke to you the way that people do online, like you had to have done something horrible. Like you had to go through and like with an AR and take out their cows or something. Like something had to happen. And I'm like, okay, the way that I say to these people usually is, I will pay you X amount of dollars if you go show a female loved one in your life these tweets and read them aloud and show us their reaction. I have not had any takers yet because one, they don't got them, or two, they realize, oh, this is weird. And that's why you don't meet these people in person. Because if they come up and say, I'm mad at you over this wrestling thing, they look really dumb in person. Like, they just look really dumb to be like, you blocked me on Twitter. Well, yeah. Okay.
It's on site. When I see you, I'm like, are you sure? Like, over wrestling, dude?
Is it? Doubt it.
I got to watch my back because I said a.
Oh, I saw a couple of them at GCW too.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw a couple people that claimed it would be on site with me in the crowd there. It wasn't on site. It wasn't on site. I was too busy having Effie sit on my face.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
It's wrestling. It ain't that serious. And two, if it is that serious to you, like I'm pretty active about where I'm going to be publicly. I generally tweet about where I'm going to be at. You know where to find me.
This is crazy.
Sean, I had a question for you though.
Yeah.
Since your match with Effie, even leading up to your match with Effie, have you had any anyone else reaching out to you, maybe trying to get you in the squared circle?
Yes, a few. I can't name name. Well, you know what? I can name one name. Marco Stunt. Who was actually, I had mentioned to Mike, was one of the reasons, like one of the inspirations to how this started, because I had teased the idea of wrestling again, and I saw Marco probably about 12 minutes after I was in a British dude's face, and he just ran at me full speed, and it's like he knew that I would know to do a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker to him. And I did it. I was like, well, if it's that easy, I mean, I would probably wrestle Marco. And my wife looked at me and she's like, you're gonna fucking wrestle again, aren't you? I was like, well, yeah, he wrestles himself. What's the matter? Like, I don't got to do anything.
Right. That's like Bryan Danielson. I don't know how the hell I'm comparing Bryan Danielson to Marco Stunt. But if like Bryan Danielson is like, hey, you want to have a match? I'm like, yeah, yes, Bryan, I'll do it. Because you know what the match is going to be, because Bryan Danielson's in there. I don't know how we got to that, but shout out to Marco Stunt.
Like, honestly, the ESP to just kind of figure that out, though, is
that's crazy.
That's something to be studied.
I'd probably back body drop a wrestler because that's my go-to.
So I would have just put a foot up.
Big boot.
Yeah, big boot. I'm 6'5". Got to stick to the big guy moves.
So in the match with Effie, SRS, you took a door bump.
Yeah.
Did you come out of this match unscathed? Are you okay?
I am fine. I went into it with a partially torn meniscus. It doesn't feel any worse for wear or anything like that. But
how'd you do that? Training?
I wish it was training. No, it was an untrained person at the start of a battle royal that I was in April who basically did a hip drop tackle to me and tore up my knee, and it popped at that moment. But I rehabbed it for quite a while and it got a lot better, and then sort of aggravated it about a week and a half before the match. But my wife worked on my knee for quite a bit to take the stress off of it and all that stuff. And I went into it feeling like, okay. Then when we practiced the German suplex, originally it was going to have a bridge. And then he's like, no, just do a release. But when we practiced it, I was in my regular shoes and those cut into the mat a lot different. And I twisted it a little bit again and I was like, oh, that sucks. But honestly, it somehow coming out of that match, it ended up feeling a little bit better than it did going into the match. So I don't know how the hell that worked, but yeah, I felt great the next day. I had little scrapes on my shoulder, on my back, but other than that, I'm feeling good. The door didn't give that much. No. Like the door I took in December was like from like a Lowe's or a Home Depot. They got this out of somebody's house. Like somebody's just doing a renovation project. Like they went to the abandoned neighborhoods in Louisville and just took one.
Here's a door.
Yeah. My nope. God.
Knock, knock. Anyone home? Oh, nobody
Japanese
lives here.
Table door. You might make Botchamania.
It was the Japanese Maybe. Table of doors. Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah, you good. Might. You might. That'd be great. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
Has anyone else from like Fightful or Media made a Botchamania recently?
I don't know. I don't watch it or anything. I mean, I don't have the time to watch Botchamania. I love Matthew, but haven't been able to watch it in quite a while.
I usually, honestly, like every content, I like roll through creators in waves of like, I'll binge everything someone did for like 6 weeks and then not watch it again for 6 weeks and then binge everything everyone did for about 6 weeks. It like, that's trying to keep up with everything that's like making wrestling content is kind of crazy because there's so much of it out there. Like the sea in which we all are floating in is just wild. And
sometimes I'm like, I'm out. I don't want any parts of this. And people online are like, can't wait to hear Grapsody, what you guys have to say. And I'm like, shit. Yeah. I don't want any parts. I don't want to talk about this. Can't wait till Saturday. What's Phil and Reg going to say? And I'm like, I guess I'm talking about this. It's sometimes like, I remember specifically when Bray Wyatt passed away. And we had an ROH post show, and I was like, I don't know if I could go on and like talk about this. Like, it was fresh, it had just happened. And like, the supporters of the shows, though, are like, they look for us and look towards us to talk about it and kind of lean on us for support, too. It's kind of a crazy space to exist in because sometimes I don't even get the chance to process things before I'm talking about it on a show.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, like, speaking of processing before it happens on a show, I was a nervous wreck about this match because we hadn't planned anything until the day of. For me, like, just the announcement of the match, I'm getting buried for. Like, imagine if I did something wrong in the match, which fortunately I have not done in one of my matches yet. I haven't had, like, a botch or anything like that. But I just know the moment that I do, it will be the only thing that I see on social media for, like, months. People are weird. So I would, to him, it's just a bad match, possibly. To me, it's like, well, shit, it's the only thing I'm going to hear about.
Yeah.
But we went over it like an hour before we ended up all right.
Yeah. Hey. So Effie's a pro. Like, you don't need, and like you said, you're not going to be doing Canadian destroyers and pile drivers and shit. So it's going to be pretty chill.
Yeah. That's what I figured. He kept saying that. He's like, because I told him I had the knee injury, and he's like, it'll be easy. We'll do it. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
Very soothing and calming vibes of a person,
right?
I feel like if Effie just like reassures you of anything, it's like, ah, okay.
It'll be fine.
You're like, I was not feeling that way.
I was not feeling that way. No.
I mean, it's GCW. It's a pretty big stage. It isn't just like some regular back wrestling match, you know?
Yeah, and there was a person that commented, and they said in Matt Camp's chat, someone said they were there live and booed himself hoarse at Sean. Yeah, the audio, when I watch it back on the video, it does not carry on GCW shows. So however loud that it sounds on TV, like it is, I was shocked at how loud it was in person. Just, that's why I was so happy that the person who films a lot of the Black Label Pro stuff sent me my full match, because it had it without commentary and with me verbalizing and all that. Like, I left that match thinking, man, I said fuck way too many times at GCW. And then I was like, well, you couldn't hear any of it.
Right.
So it ended up working out all right.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because I noticed that when I went to the GCW in Toronto a few weeks ago, like everything in that room was like, I was like, this is one of the loudest shows I've ever been at, you know, per volume of people. And then I went, you know, a couple days later when I was home, I was like, I wonder what it, you know, looked like, sounded like. I went and watched the live stream and I was like,
not the same.
Yeah.
It didn't translate. Like, even when I watched, you know, like my footage off my GoPro, my audio is like peeking out.
It's kind of
like with the microphone picking it up. And then, you know, their microphones are just and you know, the noise gates and the filter on them and stuff, it just it tunes so much of the like white noise part of it out that you kind of you don't really hear that like staticky noise of the crowd so much.
You can't really experience a live crowd.
You hear like the loudest people in the room only, really. You don't really hear like the just the general mumble and like murmur of everything. But speaking of general mumble and murmur, I saw some crazy live wrestling this weekend. I know Reg saw some wild live wrestling this weekend. One thing I did want, like, that's something I want to talk about for sure, is this West Coast Pro Deadlock Pro Prestige Wrestling show.
Pro.
Yep. Untouchable, that you went to on, it was Saturday. How was it being there?
It was an amazing show. First off, to start it, I think those three promotions working together is exciting for me. It's exciting for the wrestlers. It's exciting for independent wrestling, because I think they're three of the hottest. We just talked about GCW. Like, being in competition with them is kind of difficult, getting fans and to translate that aren't already focused on them is hard. So companies should get together, stick together, and they put together a great show. They had all their championships on the line. I thought the matches were insane. I have to start out by saying Zara Zachert just blows my mind every time I see them wrestle. Incredible showing against Sandra Moon. Saw them against Maya World last time and was one of the matches of the night. Again here, Sandra Moon, also an incredible talent. These two ladies went blow for blow, bar for bar, just having the best match in a little behind the scenes. There's some travel restrictions going on that day. You guys heard about this Microsoft shutdown thing. So a lot of the wrestlers were coming in with hours and minutes to spare. And Zara showed up not very long before the show started and still put together one of the best matches on the show. So incredible work by both those ladies. I don't know how Sandra Moon's not signed to a contract somewhere. I thought with her getting the Ring of Honor look earlier this year that was going to translate to something, but it hasn't, but I'm sure it will very soon. Starboy Charlie versus Allen Angels for the Prestige Heavyweight Championship.
Yes.
Allen Angels came in with a lot of cockiness, a lot of stuff on his back, looking like a millionaire, but Starboy Charlie pulled it out and became the new Prestige World Champion. Insane, massive pop when Charlie won the belt. It was like a few months ago when he lost the belt to Kevin Blackwood. Like, I've never seen a room just deflated like that. Like, I was speechless after it happened. And this was the exact opposite of like, oh my God, we can't believe we watched Charlie do this. We've seen Charlie come from a child, little child in the crowd, to being world champion. It's amazing to see, man. So happy for Charlie. What a great showing. And shout out to my homie Alpha Zoe, started out the show against Sean Ross Sapp. Do you know anything? Alex Shelley said this could potentially be his last, one of his last. He had a match the day after independent wrestling matches. Amazing showing there. What do you know, Sean Rossap?
These motherfuckers love doing the hokey pokey.
I hate it.
Yep.
Like all this stuff. And you got their friends posting on Twitter. Might be the last time you can ever get a seminar from Alex Shelley. Yeah, unless you're going to the Performance Center soon. Maybe then. I would imagine they're going there. Otherwise, why would they even talk about not doing indies? Like AEW will let them do indies.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's prevailing thought there. It's a bit of a hint.
It was
what if they're just going back to TNA?
Oh my god, that'd be so sick. Actually, guys, we're going to NWA. Screw it. We tricked everybody. Could you imagine? Bill Corgan has enough money, Sean Rossap?
Hell no, he doesn't have hell no.
Shout out to Alex Shelley. Shout out to Chris Sabin. I don't know what's going to develop out of that. If they go to NXT, it's going to be really weird. But great match with AlphaZoe. AlphaZoe picked up the win. The main event of the show was Shelton Benjamin, WWE legend, took on Titus Alexander. Amazing match. Shelton was also another one who showed up late due to the travel stuff, and they still put together a really great match. Shelton is huge. This was a probably like 20 wrestlers on the show, and he's bigger than everybody. He's huger than everybody in the venue. It's like, damn, that guy is like, I wouldn't like imagine trying to fight this guy for reals. You'll die. And how old is Shelton Benjamin at this point? Like it blew my mind just seeing him that close in person. Like, damn, this motherfucker's huge, dude. What the hell? It's crazy. It's crazy when you see like wrestlers, like we always talk about Billy Gunn, who we've seen on TV for so long, but then you see him in person and you're like, holy shit, this guy's a fucking giant, a literal giant. Shout out to Shelton Benjamin. Titus Alexander. Titus went to the hospital, the ER, immediately afterwards. I don't know the specifics of what happened, but shout out to Titus and send some love and prayers out to him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he tweeted he was okay. I'd have to double check to confirm, but yeah, that show was something special. It's hard to say because you know every GCW does this thing where you can't really, nobody's really operating with that kind of like business model of
touring. It's different.
You know, like they're not some city's home promotion or you know biggest promotion. They're like just kind of all over the U.S. So for everyone else, it's you know a kind of a different. Mindset and structure to how they do things, and West Coast Pro, Deadlock, and Prestige have been you know at the forefront of that for so long in their respective regions. So to see you know three promotions come together like this and unselfishly put on such like a loaded card where everybody you know every promotion had their had a chance to shine on this. This wasn't like everybody's coming to San Francisco so West Coast Pro's wrestlers beat everybody. It was a lot of collaboration, which is something that's I love to see it.
Not enough people are collabing, honestly.
No,
I got to scoot off of here, guys.
Yeah,
I appreciate you guys for having me on there.
Thank
Van
you,
Twinblade, awesome. I wouldn't know.
Yep, Sean avoided it. He did get headbutted in the balls, though. Bye, Sean.
Ow.
There we go. All right.
Okay, see, I can't figure out my camera thing. It's new, you guys.
It's okay. It's okay.
We're going here. We're going there. It's me. It's Mike and Reg. But yeah, really fun stuff, Mike. You know, I go to West Coast Flow shows really early. I was there at like 2 p.m. talking with people, looking at the wrestlers. Excitement was there before the show even started. The three promotions, just the vibe felt really good. It felt like this collaboration is going to continue, and I was really excited about just the energy in the building, man. I'm excited to what's to come in the future. Everybody's announcing shows, everybody's really active. It's cool, man.
Well, and like something too, like off the bat, I've noticed that Roseland 9 is being advertised as a triple joint production as well. It's not Prestige, which like those shows already prior to having, I would assume a collaborative effort includes like maybe some collaborative budgeting. Mm-hmm. So Roseland was already to begin with one of the most insane cards every time they do that show.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about what it could be like with all three of these promotions having a hand in the pot on it is kind of wild. I do actually want to check something with Prestige Wrestling.
Super excited. I wanted to get your thoughts, actually, before we get into the show that you went into. What happened?
No, there we go. So I Prestige had mentioned making a Roseland announcement today. And they said 3 p.m., but I realized 3 p.m. for them would be like 6 p.m., which is indie time. They did announce a tag team match for Roseland 9. It's Midnight Heat versus fucking FTR. FTR is at Roseland 9.
What? I was not expecting you to say FTR at all. I was like, Midnight Heat. I love Midnight Heat. FTR, bro?
FTR versus Midnight Heat is crazy. That's a crazy
fire-ass match, especially for this card we're talking about. Roseland, they always go out super huge. To have one of the best tag teams in the world, FTR, against Midnight Heat, their top tag team, essentially? Wow.
Absolutely insane.
Crazy, crazy, crazy. That show's going to be insane. We're
definitely that FTR. Gonna... Yes, Will McLean. That the only FTR that that I'm aware of as far as I know.
Yeah, we'll definitely get more into it fully as it progresses on. But yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts on while I was watching this show Saturday. Love the show. Everybody killed it. You know me, man. I got Sang, Spot Fu, flips and spinning, all that shit. There wasn't any true flippers on this show. And someone was saying it's because a lot of them are signed now and there aren't any great unsigned high flyers. Mike, is this true? It's not true. I know it's not true because I was like, bullshit, bro. And so immediately I got online to be like,
Myron what's up? Reed signed.
Myron Reed, I have confirmed, not signed.
Okay. So Myron
Reed. That's who I said. I said Myron Reed's number one. If we're talking, if that's what we're talking.
Is Rico Gonzalez signed?
I don't think Rico Gonzalez is signed.
Is Teriyaki signed?
I don't think Teriyaki signed.
Is Ninja Mac signed?
I don't think Ninja Mac is signed. Ninja Mac.
Yeah. Just because he's doing Noah all the time, like, you know, he's also Texan.
Ninja Mac.
Yeah. Is Ninja Mac signed?
I'm like, is there space in there? That fool be getting high.
You're thinking about the ceiling height. Yeah, the, like, the Irish culture.
That fool be flipping hell high.
Yep.
Ninja Mac.
Are Culture Inc. signed? They're a tag team that's flippy.
Eli, Culture Inc. Yeah. Somebody brought up Diego Hill, which is...
Diego Hill. Yep. Bro,
crazy.
Look, you want to look across the pond? Joe Lando?
Joe Lando's insane, dude. Some of his training video he's posts, they legit blow my mind.
I'm sure TNA wouldn't mind letting Leon Slater work a date for you.
Yeah, see, he's the person, he might be, the people, the contract thing.
Is he UK-based, though? Like, it's still, so. Like, does he have to, so does he have to, like, travel?
Yeah, I think when they have tapings, he travels over.
Okay, yeah, so I guess he might be a little tricky. Yeah, okay, so that's a couple from across the pond.
But that's already like 10 heavy hitters right there, Mike.
Hey, Gabriel Fuerza, Von Vertigo, you know, you want flippy people, they exist north of the border. I could tell you some, you know. Canadians exist, Scott.
I said, listen, you're not supposed to say who the person is.
Sorry, Canadians exist. Person that Reg was talking to when he was out at a show. It's probably pretty obvious who he's talking about. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got a list now. I'm going to come with a list of 20. Like, here's 20 heavy hitters. No, you just can't say the name because I know these people are going to be like,
We need an Ashe/GCW show emceed by DJ Head and you, Reg.
I wish, man. That's a hell of a call right there. That would be amazing right there. There's some amazing stuff going to happen in the future with, I can't even say the things out loud, but some great things are happening.
Hey, I guess
exciting stuff.
You know, if they're I'm no DJ Head or Righteous Reg, and it wouldn't be an MC, but if there does happen to be a live stream for Crossbody Pro Wrestling this Sunday, I might be doing something there where you'll hear my voice. over some professional wrestling matches.
Oh, speaking of, one of my West Coast Pro homies who had a great match against Adam Priest at the show last Saturday, Vinny Massaro is doing a birthday bash on his birthday at the West Coast Pro Academy, and it's going to be wrestling and it's going to be music.
Oh, live music?
Live music?
Live hip hop?
Live hip hop, Mike?
Yeah. I know a Bay Area. I know a Bay Area rapper.
There might be some rapping out there and some wrestling together.
Rapping and wrestling? That sounds like a good time. Are you maybe going to do some rapping there, Reg?
Or wrestling, one of the two. I'm going to do rapping or wrestling.
Oh my God. Do both.
I'm not about to have Benny beat my ass. He's been trying to. Every time I see him, he's still like coming. I'm like, because you want to beat my ass in the ring, and I'm not doing it, Benny Massaro.
Yep. When are you going to come train, Reg?
Never. There's only one person on this show, indeed, that's going to train, and he's 6'5", and it's not me.
It's not me. Oh, you know what? Honestly, after the workout I had yesterday, I'm like, man, if my back keeps feeling better, I at the very least would maybe consider some ref training. But, I managed to go actually like pick up a whole bar yesterday with weights on the ends of it. It was crazy.
That's crazy, dude. When we started this show, we used to have to cancel the show because you couldn't sit down in the chair. So yeah, to go from where you were now there to where you are now is amazing to hear.
It's honestly been pretty wild. For context, if you're a newer viewer, I've got a messed up back. So imagine if you took like three double stuffed Oreos and you stacked them all on top of each other and then you squeezed them in a vise. That's what's happening to my discs in my back. So it's pretty cool. And yeah, who knows? Maybe one day I will hit that big boot for J-Rose.
You're going to do it.
Hey, it could happen. It could happen. It's closer to happening now than it's ever been in at any point in 5 years.
Agreed. It's way too, with the connections and places that you are now, it's way too close to happening.
Yeah.
Any random night at this point now, it's like, oh, just do it. It can happen. I'm waiting every Saturday, every time you go to a show, I'm waiting for, oh, Mike did it, to come out of seeing you did a big boot on somebody. And I know it's going to happen, and I'm just patiently waiting. Every time you go out to a show, I'm like, I know one of these fools are going to convince him.
The right place at the right time, it might.
I'm saying. Crossbody.
My main goal right now is because I'm vlogging at so many shows with my camera here. My big goal right now is for a homie who is like I'm close enough with where they can steal my camera while I'm ringside, like filming around their match, and do some shit with my camera, like on the handheld pole. During their match. So
I figure we interview one of these people before the show that you're going to, we can lay the groundwork for that.
I've said it out loud now, like where a couple of people have heard me and they went, So I have a feeling it's like close to happening.
It's got to put it out in the universe is all it is.
Yeah. At the right place and time again, that's what, I can't wait for the day I can edit a vlog and I just have some weird, like first person in the ring footage of somebody hijacking my camera.
It's coming. How did your weekend footage go this time?
Well, we saw some of it in the opening credits. I got to go to I went to Pro Wrestling Ontario. Honestly, as far as wrestling in Hamilton goes, it's my favorite place to go. Mm-hmm. I feel like just so at home there. It's they are to me what West Coast Pro is to you. I think
that's it. That's all you got to say. I'm in.
I show up. I show up several hours before the show. Chair the ring might be finished being assembled usually by the time I get there, and it's just a day of like. Hanging out with friends, mm-hmm. smoking and joking and watching mm-hmm. good wrestling. And there's always, it's just always a good time with people that are, like paying fans that I've become close with that are regulars there or, you know, people who are coming to either wrestle on the show or just, you know, they don't have a booking that day. So they're just coming to hang out at the show and, you know, enjoy a night off from wrestling. And it just makes me feel happy. It's like my happy place when I'm there. That's how I feel. Like, and the wrestling, it was fire. So a couple of things, actually, because we'll have mentioned both of them now. I want to try to do a better job of tracking birthdays across the scene. We mentioned Maya World earlier. Her birthday's on Friday, so happy birthday in advance to you.
Shout out to Maya, incredible talent.
Someone I was supposed to see on Saturday at Pro Wrestling Ontario, but he unfortunately had to cancel his booking, was Gringo Loco. It was his birthday on that Saturday. And he did cancel his booking to come up to Pro Wrestling Ontario because he was making his network television debut.
Yeah. Against
the debuting hologram in Arlington, Texas.
And usually match, when someone drops out of a booking, you're like, damn, that sucks. But this was for a really good reason.
Honestly, it's the hat, like, opening, because obviously his match was pretty early into Collision, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I was still out at the show, and like opening Twitter and seeing Gringo Loco on Collision as the debut opponent for Hologram, and I'm at the show that he was supposed to be wrestling at, and I'm like, I can understand why he's not here right now.
Did you know before you saw him on the Collision thing?
Yes. Okay. They did announce. So at the beginning, this is something I love with Pro Wrestling Ontario. They didn't announce anything prior to the show. They did know about the day beforehand that Gringo wouldn't be there. But what they did, you know, at the start of the show, they mentioned, you know, we found out yesterday that Gringo Loco wasn't going to be here. He's been asked to do Collision tonight. We did, though. You know, they always do some interesting shit whenever a cancellation or something happens there. So ended up getting a because Gringo Loco was going to wrestle Alessandro Del Bruno for the open weight title.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did instead was they have, they made use of their intermission. They had Alessandro Del Bruno ready to face somebody in the second half of the show. And in the first half of the show, they had a just a disgusting gauntlet with a bunch of people from around here that ended up being won by Gabriel Fuerza, who I can't sing the praises of enough. But the match that Fuerza and Del Bruno went on to have, it was like their fifth or sixth singles match over the course of the last few years. And
smart.
It was freaking fantastic.
Smart.
I sat and watched the match with Myung Jae Lee at, we just like sat at a merch table and watched it together because this venue also best sight lines anywhere. It's got like five rows deep on two sides of the ring. And then the other two sides of the ring is one row. And then the, there's the balcony as well above those two sides of the ring with like three or four more rows in the balcony.
You guys remember that Mike is 6'5 when he's describing all of this.
No, okay. No, but like you can,
you can stand anywhere.
You can sit anywhere though and see. It's like, it doesn't matter if you're my height or if you're like,
you can sit anywhere and see, Mike.
It doesn't matter if you're my height or a little person. It doesn't matter.
Whoa, hold on a minute.
Everyone's a little person to me.
Gonna get us canceled out.
Everyone's a little person to me. That's
true.
I call everyone else little people.
We are a little people.
You could be 6 foot. You're shorter than me. You're a little person.
You little bro and everybody like that, huh, Mike?
Look, I'm an asshole. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
That's crazy. Little bro in the 6'2" is crazy,
yep.
Man.
Yep. Nope. I've been exposed. You all think I'm nice, but I that's where I have my bias at height.
I love it. Look, I would be the same way if I was 6'5". They'd be like, this guy's the worst. All he does is talk shit and be tall.
Yep. How's the weather down there?
The worst.
Yeah. But no, it was great. Like, sat, watched that match with Myung Jae. I have a couple videos of him actually, but there's one video I have of him like on Fuerz's entrance. I posted on Twitter. It's the funniest thing. I love it. But like watching, I love watching wrestling with wrestlers. Because it's just like, it's completely different than watching it with, like, fans get excited about everything.
Yeah.
But like, if wrestlers get super excited about something, then you know some, like, something was specifically impressive or wild. And like,
I watched the last two matches with Sandra Moon. I watched Charlie and Alan and Shelton and Titus with Sandra, and she was just so excited and hyped. And exactly what you're describing is like, they see little different intricacies that we don't see and react to things differently than the crowd does. And it's just so great. So fun.
Look, I'm sorry. I just read a chat, and I don't know if this is some bleed over from the Dynamite post show or what. But what the fuck?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That is some bleed over from the Dynamite post show.
That is some bleed over. We're gonna have a party at BJ's, the restaurant. They serve pizza. And BJ's party.
Oh, okay. Well, that doesn't sound nearly as I didn't know what kind of party he was.
Yeah, no, BJ's, they got pizza, they got the bazooki. Yeah.
Oh my god.
They got the pazuzzi. No, bazooki.
Oh my god. Dynamite post show, everybody. Good time.
Tonight. It's happening.
It's a good time. It's 10 o'clock, Denise Salcedo's channel.
It's going down tonight.
Honestly, every time I see a clip of like the next like 3 days after every Dynamite are always just so interesting with the clips that come out from that post show, and almost none of them are ever related to wrestling in any way.
Like, I was thinking about that too, Mike. Like, usually like 0% of them. It's always something like Denise says something wild, or I said something wild, the chat says something wild, but it's never like Bryan Danielson did this. It's always just something way off topic, and that's what I love about it.
Absolutely. Which also did remind me, it's nice to see your hat back today.
I mean, I had to, man. You saw what happened last time.
Never again, huh?
Never, ever again, Mike. They killed me. I'm still dead. My body's still laying at last Wednesday.
Yep, this is actually the ghost of Reg.
Somebody at the show, the West Coast Pro Show, who was like, oh yeah, watch the show. They killed you, blah, blah, blah. And like,
oh my God.
An older Asian, like, you would not expect this guy to be like, he came up to me, he's like, oh, Merrick, like, he's interacted with me before. I'm like, this guy is burning me too. I'm like, it's out of
here. That's insane. Yep. Yeah.
But I love it though, man. If you want to burn me over super chats, go for it. We could have a roast if it's all super chats.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Feel yeah. Spend all the money you'd like to insult us.
Go for it. Have fun.
Absolutely. No, Pro Wrestling Ontario was crazy though. Like, I had that match was great. You know, a lot of friends obviously on this show. Like, almost everybody's a homie at this point. Chris LeMoon and Travis Moore had a ridiculous match. Just some wild shit. Like, she had Travis in the corner, but on the apron in the corner. And did a running double knees to him into the, like, down the apron into the corner. And that was oof. I'm just thinking about the zero padding turnbuckle, turnbuckle rods.
Hard on that.
I'd rather have your opinion on Italian carbs. We already told you, gnocchi's good. Gnocchi's good.
We're big gnocchi fans over here. We're
we told fans. You this, but hey, look, if you want to send us money to ask us our opinion on pasta, feel free again. Like,
I'm a big pasta fan.
I have a body built on carbs, so.
Same. Big fan. Big time.
What else do I see at Pro Wrestling Ontario? Oh my God, there was a big boy fight, Nilo Reyes and my dude Wade Allen, which, by the way, this match was a perfect example of being in the right place at the right time and showing up and showing out. Because Nilo Reyes was not booked for this show. But as I've said many times to many people in private, and fuck it, I'll say it publicly, I'm going to give you some flowers, Nilo, because I love you and you're a great dude. But like, I see this guy, pretty much any promotion that will say yes to him, he will be there to help out, like doing ring crew, grabbing people's entrance gear and taking it to the back, anything like crowd control, you know, whatever you name it. If you've got room for it, And he will ask you, and anywhere that says yes, he's there. I see him all the time at Pro Wrestling Ontario. And it just so happened to be that because of there being a shuffle with Gringo Loco, they decided to switch some matches up and, you know, put a lot of people into that gauntlet, which created some openings. And Nilo Reyes ended up getting a match, his Pro Wrestling Ontario debut against Wade Allen. You know, he's, you know, six or seven minutes of a couple with a couple of big dudes just beating the fuck out of each other. And like,
not that hard.
It was something different that was on the card. Like, there was nobody else in any of the matches as big as these dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And just watching them have, you know, like it would be the a proverbial slobber knocker.
Mm.
So it was great. Like, one of the matches I'm still talking about today, and, you know, wasn't even something that was planned. And again, it's just like, you know, you do the hard work, you show up, you know, you make some friends, and next thing you know, you're filling in a match on the card and getting to show out.
Listen, it's a life lesson. Show up, help set up the ring, help work around the show, and you could potentially get a spot. This is not a new thing. Like, this consistently happens. Right place, right time. Sometimes an unfortunate situation like Gringo could end up working out for two or three different wrestlers. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's pretty much it for the wrestling as far as, like, everything, you know, I did last weekend. I've got some vlog to edit. I posted my first vlog on my YouTube channel. It's got my GCW and my Northern Crown ventures from Toronto a couple weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
Cole Radrick did steal my camera, not during his match, but just outside. Mm-hmm. He, like, you know, stole it, did a little, you know, talking and vlogging himself. So nice little thing to find in there. So
talking and vlogging.
Yep. YouTube channel is my, you know, it's the same name handle below my name here.
Mm-hmm.
Another one from Van Toonblade 5 hours. Why do Italians on the net hate on Italian American cooking so much? I would assume it's like a, you know, I don't know. I'm not Italian, actually. So you'd have to ask an Italian on the internet.
I've seen some Italian cooking videos, and if I was a real Italian, I'd be mad. So I get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is this?
You there know? There is one. It's like a couple on TikTok that I love watching. Because the dude is like, the husband is super duper Italian, like born and raised, and came to America and is married to an American woman who will they'll go to do super traditional Italian shit, and she'll like change one little thing, and the way it triggers this guy is crazy. I fucking love it. It's so funny. Can't remember their names. Find them, though. It's wild, though. It's like the only thing on TikTok I like. I don't fuck with TikTok at all, but I will watch.
Their names. Find them.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know who they are. I don't watch TikTok, but, like, every time I see videos of them, I'll just, like, I will go to their page and just scroll through and watch until I've, like, I'm like, okay, I've seen this one. And then I know I've, like, consumed all of the missed content. It's fucking phenomenal. Are you going anywhere, Reg, this weekend? You got anything going on?
No, nothing this weekend. I'm going to watch the Ring of Honor show, and I'm going to... No, nothing's live this weekend.
When's SummerSlam?
The weekend after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I know you're doing a post show for that, so I didn't know.
But yeah, nothing this weekend. Exciting stuff.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, Sunday, Cross Body Pro Wrestling. Get to see a lot of stuff there, actually. You know what? Hang on. Let me pull up the card because we love our Cross Body Pro Wrestling here.
Of course.
What do we have? We have... Where's the full card graphic?
Cross Body.
All right. So here's the thing. Jordan Oliver was supposed to defend the Cross Body Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Championship against Psycho Mike, but Jordan Oliver has a torn ACL.
Friend
is, yeah, please just get better soon. As if we need to tell him, he's the most motivated person I've ever met. I'm sure he's like willing his, I'm sure he can will himself back into health. So
honestly, if you guys could donate, buy some merch, do any kind of thing you could to the homie Jordan Oliver, he you know, injured, and this guy loves wrestling more than a lot of fucking people, and it's going to be very hard for him to not be wrestling, so go show some support to the homie.
Absolutely. So instead, Psycho Mike's going to wrestle Pretty Ricky Wilde, another friend of the show. That's going to be a wild fucking match because Ricky's a crazy man. And Psycho Mike is literally a psycho. So, you know. Nilo Reyes, the aforementioned, and his tag partner, Laurel Cassidy, the Kawaii Kids, are taking on Travis Moore, who I mentioned earlier, and his tag partner, Grizzly Mac, who may or may not have, you know, had to choke slam Crystal Moon for Travis Moore to win his match last week. But nonetheless, yeah, that, you know, that's a tag match that's happening. Charlie Tiger is defending the crossbody internet title against the Grinder Mark Shaw.
The Grinder.
My homie Alex Gagne is wrestling D. Smith and Ben Ortman's in a internet title number one contender match. And there's a tag match happen, or so there's a tag title match, which is Dynasty, the tag champions, Jackson Roy and Mikey Truth. They're defending against Pat Dynamite and Griffin McCoy, Young, Dumb, and Broke. That's going to be awesome. And lastly, the main event for this one, it hits me right in the feels because we've got my homie Crystal Moon and Gabriel Fuerza teaming up for, I believe, the first time ever to take on the debuting Jaylen Hill. She's one of she's Crossbody Pro Wrestling's second ever female graduate.
Awesome.
Ben's only graduated two women. Crystal Moon actually being the other one. So her being on one side of this match is great. Against Jaylen Hill in her debut, who will be teaming up with her idol, Smiley Kylie Rae.
Oh, that's right. The match. Yeah. Yes. They did the thing. That's right. That's gonna be great.
Yeah, so that's happening on Sunday. If there is a live stream, I might be commentating on that show. So
nice, you know, card.
Yeah, keep an eye out on Crossbody Pro Wrestling's YouTube channel. And then on Saturday, actually, I'm going to my first No Ring Deathmatch show. So
sick. I've been to a couple. I've been to probably like 10. They're awesome.
I've got, I'm getting like both ends of the spectrum, like back-to-back nights this weekend of
sick
No Ring Deathmatch, and then like just you know, happy hits you in the feels main event of a homie debuting with her idol against other homies. So I don't know how I'm going to edit my vlog for this weekend. It's going to be two very different streams of content.
That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna find, I think I've got it, actually, you know, now that I've said it, I've got a way.
And you just gotta say it out loud.
No, I'm gonna tell you about it after we're off the air, actually. Mm-hmm. But I figured it out, and it's great. But yeah, so that's what we're both doing. In the meantime, where can everyone find you at, Reg?
You know, at Righteous Reg on all your socials that I don't be on. RighteousReg.bandcamp.com. I got some new music coming out. I got some new videos working on. I'm working on a lot of music behind the scenes, so that's coming. Every Saturday, I'm on Grapsody, Philip Lindsay. Tomorrow's Ask Grapsody with Philip Lindsay. Tonight, I'll be on with Denise, the Dynamite Post Show. And every Wednesday, you can catch me here with the homie Mike. Talking indeed. We might start interviewing people again soon, or we might not. I don't know. I'm having fun doing this.
Yeah, who knows? Or, you know, hey, we had like Sean on for half the show. We got to shoot the shit for half the show. It was good. Nice balance. Who knows?
Totally.
As for myself, universal social media handle, it's under my name right there, at Mike from Indeed. Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch. I actually use the YouTube channel now. I've got a vlog up there. It's got all my Toronto adventures from Northern Crown and GCW. I'm just going to plug it next Tuesday. Love Pro Wrestling's YouTube channel. I'm hosting Quizplex. I've got referee Brad Myers. I've got Pretty Ricky Wilde, and I've got Mansoor from MXM. I'm doing some pro wrestling trivia. I'm asking them questions. You can donate money to Gaza Kinder Relief to raise some money to help some Palestinian children, and buy some points to cause chaos and fuck the results up. Yeah, tune in over there for a good cause. That's the last thing I want to plug. We'll see you next week. Watch some independent wrestling. Subscribe to Fightful Select. Peace and love.